Call to order, the administrative slash finance committee meeting of county council for May 14th. We have a very lengthy agenda today. I'd like to get the meeting underway. We have enough members present for quorum, but I'm going to acknowledge those that are present. Councilman Reddick, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Hollins is joining us at the table, Councilman Street, Councilmember Kilpatrick, our council president, Chris Bullock is here. With that, I'd like a motion on the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes are approved from the prior committee meeting on the 23rd of April. Today, big day today. We've got to look at the pension situation of Newcastle County.
Mr. Chair.
Councilman Smiley, do you have a motion?
Yes, I would make a motion request council's consideration to basically incorporate the discussion of resolution 13-133 with the presentation, since Mr. Boomishan's information will be relevant to the subject matter of that resolution.
Do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we'll present momentarily, sir, Mr. Boomishan. We're looking at consent calendar, none. Other resolutions, we'll quickly go through the refund of taxes paid in error resolution 13-132. And this is a regular business item we have in front of this finance committee where we refund taxes paid in error. In this case, it's sewer fund paid in error. And anything that's in excess of $5,000 must come before county council for review and approval. And I'd like to just have someone from finance just present this briefly. What is this refund request?
Ed Miller, from the finance office. This is Moore Blair. They paid twice.
And what is the beneficiary of the refund?
Or Who it is?
Yes.
It's Daniel Syme, S-Y-M-E.
Okay, so they paid twice?
Right.
Sewer? So the refund reflects?
It's a sewer fee paid in error, right. Exactly. What this was, I'm sorry, taking another one. This one, these people were getting charged for sewer and paying their sewer, but didn't actually have to be hooked up for sewer.
Well, those are the perfect customers. No.
I'm sorry, I'll take
okay.
another one.
All right. Correction on that. It's a refund of a sewer fee based on payment when it doesn't reflect that we're delivering sewer service.
Correct.
And the amount is $6,272.71. Okay. Yes.
Well, I'll wait for the public comment, I guess. I just wanted to get my hand up early.
We will recognize your public comment. County Auditor Bob Wasserbach. Okay, thank you. Moving on. Resolution 13-133. And this very important resolution is to set Newcastle County's fiscal year 2014 contribution rate for the county's pension plans. And I'd like to open the floor to our actuary, Mr. David Boomishan, from the Boomishan Consulting Group for presentation and discussion. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you very much. What you have copies of are almost exactly the same presentation that was presented to the pension board back in March, and then there was a page that was added in April and some follow-up, and I know that time is of the essence here, so I'm going to move through this fairly quickly through the early part and get to the results, the highlights of the valuation at the end of the presentation. So again, stop me when you have questions. Thank you for having me today, and I'll keep this moving for you. Basically, I'm going to talk about a bunch of background. When we do an actuarial evaluation every year, there's four primary inputs that go into that valuation into our model. We look at the employee data, we look at the assets, we also look at the plan provisions, and then we look at the actuarial assumptions for the future projections. So those are the four parts that go into that. And again, I'm going to move quickly through at least the first half to get to the highlights, the results of the evaluation. First of all, we look at the number of participants. And you see we have the active and retirees. The total is about 2,500 plan participants. That's about the same as last year. There's a few more than last year. But the one key here is to note that the number of retirees, about over 1,200, is more than the number of actors at 1,100. So the plan is getting mature, and I'll come back to that in a couple other slides. So what we also look at are the plan assets. Market value went from last year of $360 million to this year, and this year being as of January 1st, 2013, or December 31st. Market value is at $387 million. So market value went up. That's a good thing. Had a return of about 12%. But on the actual value of assets, and when I say actual value, what we do is we take the investment returns and spread them out over a five-year period, so that we don't have market value swings having a severe impact on the volatility of the annual contribution. So we have a more consistent contribution. So with the five-year smoothing, which goes back to 2008, when we had those huge losses, we do still have a loss this year. And so the actual value went from $394 million down to $377 million. This is the single most key for the cost increase that you're going to see later on, is the fact that the value of assets went down. But this is the last year of the five-year smoothing for that old loss. And you see that our return is less than 1% for the actuarial value. And on the five-year average, you still see a loss of around 3% just for the past 5 years. Which again, short-term, that's not a long-term thing. We have a couple of pictures that show the graphs. It's the same information on the asset values over the past several years. And then we show some indices and comparing. The green bar is the Newcastle return, Newcastle plan return. Falls right in with what we would expect from the indices. So we're not seeing any real surprises here, just that we have this one key of the actual value of assets dropping this year. So looking at the assets again,
one moment, sir. I'd like to recognize Councilman Shellman has joined us at the table.
So one point I want to make here is we have a reconciliation of the assets during 2012, and the one key here is to look at the total income of about $30 million. Before the unrealized appreciation in assets. And compare that $30 million to the expenses, the benefit payments and expenses of $34 million, almost $35, showing that there is a negative cash inflow in the plan. Now, it's not a surprise because we know the number of retirees are up, but we want to be aware of that as we go forward. But then you throw in the unrealized appreciation, the $31 million, and that's how we end up with the 12% return for last year. So, when we do our evaluation, we actually use data from a year ago, and then we compare it with the assets. We plug in the assets from this year. So that's our approach. And now we have the valuation assumptions. These are pretty much the same as before, except for at the very top, we have an investment return assumption of 7.5%. That used to be 8%. We are moving down on a conservative slope and checking this as we go forward, recognizing that the 8% is not sustainable, but the national trend is not at 7.5%, it's at 7.75%. So we're a step ahead on this. And this is the key assumption that drives the actuarial valuation. So you're in good shape on this assumption. That's the key. And we will be looking at that again this year. In fact, one thing that we strongly recommend this year, and a study that we're going to do later this year and present to the pension board, is that we're going to do a full actuarial experience study and compare all of those assumptions that we just talked about against your actual experience, since we have the database for the past 5 years, and see how does the actual experience compare to the assumptions, especially at that discount rate, that 7.5.
Councilman Smiley.
Is there a movement out there in the federal line or wherever to actually reduce the investment, the assumed investment return down around 5.5?
No. It's not a national trend. There's lots of complaints that are happening.
Okay.
Moody's came out with the 5.5. And okay. Moody's is using the 5.5. In fact, it's really a Citigroup curve. It's a pension liability curve, which is actually lower. They changed the guideline in the past month. They use that for credit reporting only. So they're looking for, they're comparing governments so that they can compare apples to apples on how pension plans stand. So you can compare that, the valuations being done at 8%, which will show lower liabilities, versus the 7.5 that we're using. So the U.S. is using it so they can do comparisons, but only for credit reporting. And Moody's came out with an announcement that, as a result of that full analysis that they're doing, that they only expect that to have an impact on 2% of plans across the country. In other words, the plans that are funded like 40 or less than 50%. They're the ones, and they're only going to come under review. They're not necessarily going to change their credit rating.
Okay.
So it's a credit rating thing. The trend that is happening across the country is a move from the 8% down towards the 7.5%. And then the next question is it going to start moving from 7.5% down towards 7%? That's the national trend.
Yeah, Bob Wasser, County Auditor. I noticed the average salary increase, 4.5%. And I know the county makes a contribution to the state for police officers. And my question is, are those salary increases still encompassed within that average salary increase?
Which salary increases?
We're
assuming 4.5% per year, just like we're assuming 7.5% investment return in the future.
Okay.
So when we go to do the study later in the year, we're going to also be looking at investment return and looking at salary increases.
But my question is, for police officers, where we make a contribution to the state because they're in the state's pension fund, do we factor the police officer salary increases into that average salary increase for the county's
pension? I can answer that. Ed Miller, County Finance Office. This has nothing to do with the state plan, the police or the state plan. This is only the county pension plan itself.
Well, I understand.
But he does not factor that out into his.
Okay.
Because this has nothing to do with the police that are in the state plan. It's separate. We make a contribution. It's completely separate than what he's presenting to that.
No, I understand that, but yeah. I just wanted to make sure that police officer increases weren't being in calculating that average.
No,
police officer increases were not being factored into calculating that average.
No, it's not. I mean, he's going to be doing a study to see who is in active duty anymore. Because
okay.
I think there's only 30 policemen that are still left. Active police that are in the county plan. Everybody else is in the state plan. Okay.
So if your question is about the police that are in the state plan, the state does the actual evaluation for that plan. That's not included. In addition to doing the experience study later this year, we're also going to be looking at the changes in the accounting standards. The Government Accounting Standards Board, GASB, has changed the guidelines for accounting, not for funding. But we're waiting for an implementation guideline to come out to clarify some gray areas. And after we get those gray areas clarified, we'll be reporting back to the pension board about the accounting changes later on this year. So those will be coming up later this year. So getting to the results of the evaluation. These are the important facts. We look at the comparison of actuarial liability to the actuarial value of assets, subtract the assets from the liability to get to the unfunded actuarial liability. Now, consider that a mortgage. And that's a mortgage that has to be paid off over the future. And we're amortizing that over a 20-year period. So this year we have actuarial liability of $522 million. Assets are down, again, $377 million. We have an unfunded liability of $145 million, which is a $40 million increase from last year, mainly because of the assets. And you'll see again, that's going to translate into a big cost increase when we look at the valuation results. So the funded ratio has gone from 79 down to 72%. That's a little lower than we like to try. We have a guideline trying to get to at least 80% from the bond rating agencies. But the fact is that the 72% is the national average for public sector plans this year. So you're on average, you're not behind, and not ahead. And then at the bottom, we look at the present value of benefits. If we actually stop the plans now, compare that to the market value of assets, the market value is up, and we still have a funded ratio, assets divided by liabilities, of about 80%. So we're okay on there, but we're not stopping the plan's ongoing. So the first ratio of 72% is the key. This is a picture that just shows the
going back to the unfunded liability and how funded we are, just repeat for the public record. We're not below performance, we're not on the leading edge of it, we're sort of in the middle of the pack in terms of plans across the board.
And that is correct. You are right in the middle of the pack. The national average for government plans is at 72% for this year.
Councilman Sheldon.
And can you explain the bottom one again?
The bottom one is we, if you stop the plan right now.
Completely, we just, we fold it and go to a 401K or whatever it is.
Yes.
503, I guess.
If you stopped it right now and you counted for all past service and everybody kept the accrued benefit they have up to date.
Right.
Then that's the present value of those accrued benefits.
Which would mean we're 90, 89 million in the hole?
That's about right.
Okay.
I guess I wanted to give perspective about the fact that contrary to what we've been subjected to in the media, you know, we're doing okay. And we are comparable with other pension, government pension plans across the country. Of course, we want to do a little better than the pack, but we are, you know, solidly funded, about 80% funded in the current conditions. And isn't it true that all pension funds across the United States were impacted by the crash of 2008?
Yes.
And we're all, as a group, coping with these impacts.
That is absolutely correct. What happened on the markets and the assets happened to all plans across the country.
Any other comments on this from members of council? Okay.
Okay.
Next.
So again, comparison of assets and liabilities, and this is the present value. Then we get to the annual contribution, the annual cost. And again, the driving factor is the impact of the asset losses on the actuarial basis. But there's two pieces of cost that we add in to get to the total annual cost. The normal cost, which is the value of benefits that are accruing this year, net of the employee contributions, stayed about the same. Actually went down a little bit to about 5.7 million.
Just take a pause.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to recognize Councilman Bell's joined us at the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But then we see the big increase in the amortization cost, which again is taking that unfunded liability that increased by 40 million this past year, and that's going from 9 to 13 million. There's the big jump in cost this year. And if we look at it as a percent of payroll, we go down to the bottom after we take out the state aid that we received from Delaware. And we see that the total cost, the bottom line, went from 15.7%, jumped all the way to 23.9%. So this is similar to what happened back in 2009, where we recognized the beginning of that 2008 loss. We had a huge jump, an 8% jump in the cost as a percent of payroll. And then it became more of a question is, okay, how do we address that when we can't address it all in one year? So then we had, there's a few other graphs here. This is an internal allocation between plans. This is really just to come up with some of the numbers that go into the resolution. The internal allocation is just for finance purposes. And then we look at accounting versus funding. We did make a change in the method for accounting this year so that these numbers are all the same as we've seen before, although it's going to change in a couple of years under the plan. So the conclusions were the funding ratios were down, as we talked about, 79% to 72%. The biggest factors of impacting that were the loss on the actuarial basis and on the asset basis. There were some loss due to the changes in the plan population, so some increase in cost because of that, and then a reduction in the covered payroll that's used for budgeting purposes. So basically, it's an increase in contribution of about 8%, 8.2%, and that's based on the current funding approach. Then we said, okay, what are we going to do about this in the discussion with the pension division? And we came up with a number of alternatives. And some of the alternatives that we looked at first were, let's look at some alternatives for the asset smoothing. And we came up with a couple of different approaches and a couple of different results. If the pension board asked for a little bit more and asked, what if we look at this the way we did back in 2009? And that's the last page of the handout, where we look at what if we take that 8% and phase it in over a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Back in 2009, it was a huge increase. We ended up adopting a program where we have phased in those cost increases over a five-year period. The alternatives that we looked at here is, what if we take that 8% and phase it in over 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years? And the pension board adopted the second alternative, alternative two, which was to phase it in over a three-year period. And what that translates into is that instead of going from 16% to 23%, the cost as a percent of payroll is going to go from 6% to almost 19%, 3% increase. It is anticipated that next year we'll have another 3% increase, and then a 2% increase the year after that. So phasing the cost increase in over a three-year period. If at the time we do the valuation next year or the year after, if we are back to the regular track, then we will stop the phase-in and just go with the regular contribution, the normal cost plus 20-year amortization of the unfunded liability. So the recommendation from the pension board was alternative two, to do a three-year phase-in with an 8% cost increase. I know I went through pretty quickly, but the highlights were the liability and asset comparisons and the annual cost. Those were the primary results of the actual evaluation and the discussions with the pension board.
Any comments or questions from members of council? A lot of data here to go through and comprehend, but I think it's both reassuring and also a little bit sobering at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we spent a lot more time going through this presentation with the pension board, addressing each of the slides in detail.
Any other? Yes, Councilman Smiley.
I just want, on a personal note, I want to thank council, the majority of council, for their respect and due consideration when I asked for a little bit of time to be able to attend the pension board meeting so that we could arrange to have a thoughtful and informed presentation, and coincidentally it timed with the resolution, which I think was very beneficial to council. So for me, I want to thank the majority of council for recognizing there was no ulterior motive behind it, and I think we can all agree that it's turned out for the best. And thank you, Mr. Boomershine.
To follow that up, there is a pension board meeting which starts at 8 o'clock. And if it's open to the public, then people can come and see the deliberations of our pension board with our new appointees. They're sworn in and ready to go. Any other questions, comments?
I would have one more comment.
Yes.
The recall council has also passed the 2011 plan, which will have some transformation from the defined benefit pension to a defined contribution plan in future years. It's in effect now. It did not impact this valuation at all, because it was a non-issue, because we use data that's a year old. So there are no 2011 participants in this plan, and there will be very little impact for several years. But once we start getting out 5 to 10 years, then we start seeing an impact on panels due to that.
Okay. I guess just to review for council the substance and content of the resolution 13-133, we thank Mr. Boomershine for that very insightful presentation on the actuarial status of our pension plan. In this resolution, if approved, would change the county contribution rate from 16.1% 10% to 18.70%. Total cost for pension plan contributions. Council enacts this $18,095,926. So,
$18,095,926.
I'm going to boost that pension rate 2.5%. Is that the recommendation?
Yes.
2.5. Any questions from members of council about that? Concerns? Again, pension costs are a major responsibility, a major cost factor in the operation of county government, and doesn't get better there either. It's just more, we have to contribute more to keep that pension plan on track. All right. Any other questions? All right, moving on to the next one. Resolution 13-134, authorizing execution of non-bid purchase order contract of $103,490 for Oracle America, Inc., an on-site computer technology consultant, installed new version and re-engineer the PeopleSoft environment. Okay, this is a basically non-bid contract, but one sole source for this software. Is there anybody from the administration of human resources like to present on this? Yes, sir.
Tom Peralta, IS manager.
Okay.
Basically, what we're doing is we're replacing our current version of PeopleSoft with a new version. It's more internet-based. It's complex, and we really don't want to experiment or guess at how to install this.
Okay.
So we want to hire the best people available, and those people are going to come from Oracle directly. This, of course, affects our pensioners. This, of course, affects our payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. At the same time, we're going to move the software from one platform to another, to one that's going to be supported for a much longer period into the future. And so, therefore, it's fairly expensive. But again, we feel it's very important that we do this right, which means bringing in the very best resources that we can bring. And those are the people who actually create the software itself.
Okay. So this resolution proposes the expenditure of the amount of $103,490 to bring Oracle in to service our software that runs payroll and other...
And pension.
And pension. Excellent. Okay. Any questions, members of council? All right. Moving along. Resolution 13-135. Authorizing execution of a one non-bid purchase order contract to Midwest Tape LLC for library books and electronic materials for $500. Is that $500?
Yes, $500.
Okay.
That is these services. We're just moving money from the Friends of the North Library to purchase items.
Well, I can tell you this is a transparent government. We're looking at a $500 movement of cash. So, and that has to do with library tapes?
Yes.
Okay. Audio books?
Yes. It's not an exact number.
Audiobooks are an important resource out of our county libraries. Yes, sir. Councilman, I
just want to thank you because I feel better about my thought process about lowering the amount you have to bring before us now. I don't feel guilty about any of that now.
I see another lifeline over here waving her hand. Andrea Smith. Go ahead.
Andrea Smith, Acting Chief of Administrative Services. This is just part of the aggregate to one vendor. They've exceeded the
$25,000.
That's why it's here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
I need to ruin my bubble.
All right. Resolution 13-136, authorizing execution of one non-bid purchase order contract to Omega Group for software to deploy CrimeView dashboard with as Avaya's near repeat module in support of the police predictive policing program. $75,845. Okay, anybody from public safety?
Captain Wendy Fever, New Castle County Police. This is the predictive software that we've been talking about for a while now. It is through the Omega Group that will sit on top of the other software we have now, allow us to push a dashboard out to all the police cars, to the officers on the street, to see the maps, the places that we need, the hotspot areas, the times of the day, down to the street. In addition, also allows us to buy Zavia predictive software, which will allow us to start to do some more predictive with property crimes.
Okay, enhancement to our police software, going out to police vehicles, enabling them to do the better job with predictive policing. Okay, any questions, comments? Members of Council, Councilman Smiley.
I'll just say I look forward to the day when we can get the software to help us predict when they'll put them back on along the street on us again so you guys can be ready to meet them at the gate.
I look forward to that.
Okay. Questions, comments? Okay, moving along. Resolution 13-137, Councilman Smiley.
Mr. Chair and members of Council, I would ask that we delay discussing this for a little bit today, given the amount of things that have been transpiring the last couple of days. I'd like to wait to see if any more council members arrive.
Okay.
Before I present this, so I don't
motion,
have
sir?
To repeat myself numerous times on the floor of council this evening.
You want to make a motion about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so I'd make a motion to hear this in this committee, but I'd like to move forward with the agenda and give an opportunity for other council members to arrive.
Okay. Second it.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, we'll delay hearing Resolution 13-137 until later in this committee meeting. Moving along, ordinances. All good ordinances here, really nice ones. Okay, Ordinance 13-028, Which council member, Diller?
Force four. Yes, as you can see by the title, this is bringing in grant funds from the state grant and aid to the Absalom Jones Senior Center. You can see the breakdown of the grant on page three. Good news, money coming in.
And where are we passing the money through?
Well, it's being passed through community services to the senior center.
State Delaware grant and aid.
Yeah, it's a grant and aid.
Okay, very good. I'd like to point that out. We're passing through state money, not county money. Yes, Councilman Street.
I have a question about timing. Because state grant and aid for next fiscal year, I don't know where we are with this. Because for the next fiscal year, state grant and aid won't be approved until General Assembly acts this year. So is this $202,000 last year's grant? Is it a proposed grant? Where are we?
It's anticipated. If you take a look at it, the completion date is June 30th, 2014. So that would be anticipated for beginning July 1st of this year.
So yeah. My question is, why is it coming to us now when the application had to be submitted November 1 of last year?
Okay. Would
I think
community
we need
services like to respond?
Alan Madison, community services. It gives us the opportunity to spend beginning July 1st.
Right.
And we'll come back in if there's any need to reconcile the money.
Councilman Street.
We don't have a number yet. We don't have a number until the General Assembly passes this year's grant name. So my question again is timing. Because if we were going to approve this, if this was the application amount, then we should approve the application amount, and that should have been done before the grant and aid application was submitted.
Jane Rattini, Department of Community Services. We did submit an application. It was due, I believe, March 1st of each year. It's an annual application in which we submit program and budget information to the state. And for it to move forward on approval by the end of June 30th.
Councilman Street.
So then is Department of Community Services and or Absalom Jones on a different track with the grant and aid program than all the other grant and aid agencies? Because that timing is not the understanding I have of the rule.
We have followed the same procedure that we have in the past in regard to making application by the March deadline to the state. We await word by June 30th of the grant amount, but this process has been an annual one in which we submit the proposed budget so that we can begin spending July 1st.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I don't understand.
Yes.
Okay, because my understanding of grant aid application.
Yes.
Grant aid applications are due by November 1 of the prior year. So I don't understand why this comes out of character with the rest of the grant aid agencies and that timing just, I don't understand.
Jane Rattini, this funding actually comes through the Comptroller General's office. So it is. It could be a little different from some of the other state and aid, for instance, for the libraries, which is funded through the Division of Libraries.
Councilman Smiley.
Maybe you can help me understand. Regardless of when the application went in, if the funding hasn't been approved yet, and we approve this, what happens if you don't get the funds you anticipate?
As Mr. Mattis stated, we would come back and make an adjustment to this ordinance.
Councilman Street, I hear your discomfort with this. I think the thing you got to understand in general, I have discomfort as well. We pass a budget for this county government at the end of May. General Assembly doesn't pass theirs till the end of June, we make certain assumptions about the funding of this entire government with regards to state money, paramedics, other things. I mean, we just are in that kind of a situation as a derivative government that, you know, we're kind of given a little bit of uncertainty about things, and we have to follow suit. I don't know if that gives you any comfort or anything, but there's a lot uncertain about what we do.
No, it doesn't give me any comfort, because the timing is all wrong. Quite familiar with Grant and Aid rules and regulations, and all I hear is folks are doing what they want to do, time frames are different, and this council is a rubber stamp. So, you know, and most of the things on the agenda are rubber stamps, no big contracts, nobody knows how to do this work, so forth and so on. And we argue about small amounts of money, and there's millions of dollars here, and it's going to be business as usual, but I'm not going to prolong it. I'm not going to pick a fight that I can't win, and just concerned about timing. Obviously, I support a grant and aid application. Obviously, I support senior citizens, National Jones, or any other agency receiving grants. I just have a question about the timing and the process.
To any response from community services?
I agree with the council. This is one of those out of sync timing situations that we're stuck in. We don't prepare the numbers out there that aren't exact, but we need to move forward as an entity. And unfortunately, we're at the most anomalous state of the federal government. We had our federal government numbers some time ago, and they're still out there. We don't know where we need to be. Meanwhile, we need to move forward as a department and as a county.
Right.
To structure ourselves so that we're ready to go, to keep it on our timetable. So it's a true statement. It would be much easier if everyone was in sync on the same timetable. We wouldn't have to put up with it.
Councilman Street.
It was crystal clear to me, and I'll leave it alone. It's absolutely, I don't think anybody in the room understands what I just said. Okay, my concern is, grant aid application is due November 1st. There was an approval process for the application that required council approval. Council should have approved it prior to November 1st. Now, those are rules and regulations as relates to the grant aid program as I understand it. If they're different because we're the government, then so be it. I don't have that knowledge, and I don't know why they would be different.
Councilman Diller, then Councilman Hollins.
I'm not sure that the timing of this is any different than what we have done in the past, Councilman Street. The other thing is, even if these folks had wanted to bring this to us on November 1st, if you remember, there was an election and a change of administration. So, you know, they can't spend the money, even if they get it, if we don't appropriate it.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe I understand Councilman Street's issue here, and it is pretty much not just the state, but the feds as well. I think it would be helpful if council were to understand the consequences if we didn't go forward. I think CDBG is a similar kind of a thing. We're waiting and waiting, but we are passing these ordinances here currently. What are the consequences? We waited to pass the ordinance.
Carrie Casey with the Department of Community Services. You're referencing CDBG and home and ESG, but we have the budgets. We would be, the budgets are due to HUD along with the annual plan by May 15th. Of the 4 or 5 days before the beginning of the fiscal year. So it would, you know, it jeopardize our programs, but and the staff, there's 24 people employed through those three programs. And we, you know, as Jane and Mr. Mattis said, we're trying to get set up and get our structure in place. So on July 1, you know, we should hear by the beginning of June what our grant allocations are gonna be, then we'll be ready to spend, you know. So, but there is a big risk because we want to make sure we get everything on time and do everything that we need to do to receive our funding.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Tack has joined us, and Councilmember Kilpatrick had a question.
Thank you. So even though we authorize this today, if this dollar amount does not come in within the state grant and aid, we just come back and unauthorize whatever portion you don't have. Because if you don't have the money,
you don't spend
it's not supplemented from someplace else. This is the grant and aid. It is what it is. We believe it's going to be this. If it's not, we amend it, but you only can spend what you get. No supplementation from anyplace else.
Okay. Any other comments? I guess the kind of thing I bring to this is maybe the answers aren't what we want to hear necessarily, but I appreciate the questioning of these ordinances and resolutions and finance. I think it's important for council to exercise its role in examining everything that comes in front of us. All right, I'd like to move along. Ordinance 13-1029, amend the grants budget, realign $250,000 of program income within the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 2 grant. Councilmember Diller.
Yes, as you can see, this money is already in the community services budget through HUD. This is simply realigning the funding, as you can see on page 4 of your agenda, from contractual services to increasing land and structures so you can use this money.
And we have done a great job with the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. I don't know if anybody from community services would like to offer any other comment on this ordinance.
So this is Terry Casey's department. NSP2, realigning these funds to land and structure allows us to do our next phase of buying, acquiring, and rehabbing these properties in NSP2 area eligible census tracts. This is just a realignment, so we're poised to start another phase using all of our program income that we've received from sales of the houses that we bought and rehabbed and sold to eligible home buyers.
Okay.
This is just sort of getting us ready to move, you know, the next, you know, 6-12 months on buying more properties and you know, doing more of what we've been doing for the last 3 years.
Okay, excellent. Any other comments, questions? I recognize the contacts. Yeah, okay. All right, moving along. Ordinance 13-030, amend the grants budget, appropriate $500,000 in anticipated program income from the sale of homes to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3 grant to address housing foreclosures in Newcastle County. Councilmember Diller, once again.
I'd like to say per title.
Per title. And just a question, anticipated program income, maybe if you could clarify that.
Sure. As you recall, in November, County Council approved that grant award that the state gave us of $1.75 million because they had to get to their deadline. And they were woefully under their deadline, so they gave us the money, and we went out and bought 13 NSP3, that's a census tract again, eligible properties, and met and helped the state reach their goal of spending $2.5 million by March. So now we have 13 properties. We're in various stages of rehabbing those properties, and we anticipate putting them on the market in the next few months and having the program income come back in on those sales. And that's what that $500,000 is, you know, a very, very, very conservative estimate. We hope to double the amount we get back in from the sales, but it helps us keep the rehab going on some of our projects, keeps things moving, because we know we're going to get that money in, and we anticipate having that money in by March 2014.
Okay, let's rehab those homes and get them out to the new buyers. Council President Bullock.
Where are those properties located, Kaylee? Newcastle, Newark, and there.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions, comments? All right. Moving along. Ordinance 13-031, long title here, amend the grants budget for FY 2014, appropriate federal funds of $683,350 from the U.S. Department of Housing, Urban Development, and Program Income of $100,000 to the Home Investment Partnership Program as follows. Appropriates $48,140 to home administration by 2014, $632,708 to home investment partnership fiscal year 2014, and $502 to the Home Investment Partnership Committee Housing Development Organization, CHODO. It's the acronym CHODO for FY 2014. Councilmember Diller.
Yes, we had an update on this, I believe, at the last community services meeting. If you look at pages 5 and 6 of your agenda, you will see the breakdown between those three different expenditures, administration, rehabilitation, and then the CHODO.
So this is all the HUD funds collectively?
For the home program.
Home program funds, HUD program.
Plus the $100,000 in program income.
Okay. Questions, comments? Members of council? All right. Moving along. Again, federal HUD dollars we're talking about here. Ordinance 13-032. Amend the grants budget for fiscal year 2014. Appropriate $1.907 million and some change from the Department of State of Delaware Division of Libraries to the Library Administration. $112,876 to Appaquinimic. It's Library Administration. Appaquinimic Libraries, $125,343. Bear Library, $308,872. Claymont Library, $108,576. Brandywine 100 Library, other known as Tally Library, $287,876. Ellesmere Library, $128,633. Hokeston, $162,565. Kirkwood Library, $222,122. Newark Library, $278,816. And the Woodlawn Library, $172,037. Councilmember Diller.
I don't think I could add anything more.
All pass-through funds from the State of Delaware,
yep.
Division of Libraries.
Exactly.
Fantastic. All good. All supporting our important libraries throughout New Castle County.
And
all
I actually believe, yes, the next couple belong to my senior colleague,
okay,
Councilman Holland.
Going to switch up the team here. Resolution 13-033. Amend the grants budget, appropriate $1,979,300 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, $350,000 in estimated program income to Community Development Block Grant for FY 2014, administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next four ordinances will deal with the current one, which is cash for grant to the State of Delaware for library services. And the other three will deal with block grant funds and HUD funds, NSP, program income, and emergency solutions, which is a new term for emergency shelters. It has to do with the homelessness. But what I want to do here is saying that is just have them read, and I'll just say for title, and I have a lifeline here in case someone wants some further.
Okay.
In other words, I'm trying to cut some time here.
Let's cut some time. That's a good idea. And all federal pass-through dollars we're dealing with here. Ordinance 13-034, amend the grants budget for FY 2014, appropriate federal funds of $176,404 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to the HUD Emergency Solutions Grant for 2014, which is administered by the Department of Community Services.
Okay.
Ordinance, any questions, members of council? Ordinance 13-035, amend the grants budget, realign $200,000 of federal funds within Neighborhood Stabilization Program grant administered by Department of Community Services. Thank you. All right, that takes care of the ordinances under our agenda. Before I proceed, I'd like to recognize that Brian Holleiter, my legislative aide, is taking the notes of the meeting today. Working on to the next item, JK&L, we have none.
Let's go ahead through the grants, if you don't mind. I'd like to get the ultimate amount of time.
Okay, very good. Under other New Castle County grant requests, all right, let's look at the first one, Urban Youth Golf Program Association, the first tee of Delaware. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. This is a program that I've been sponsoring for a number of years.
They're asking for $2,500, but I'm down to $1,000. If anybody wants to chip in, feel free.
How much do you have?
Thank you.
Council president's offered $500, so we're up to $15.
I'm flat out. This is a good program. It's
yes, good. Any other members of council like to contribute to the Urban Youth Golf Program?
They not only teach golf, they teach how to be a person and their work ethics in school.
All right. Councilman Hollins.
$500.
How much would you like to be?
$500.
$500. Up to $2,000.
Good.
All right. Is that all? Do I have a motion on that?
Motion.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor of the Urban Youth Golf Association grant?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right. We're approved. Moving ahead. Everybody get down the amounts there. All right. Corbett Calloway Memorial Library. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Corbett Calloway Memorial Library, this is a grant that will go towards the library's summer youth reading program. Corbett Calloway is the first free public library in the state of Delaware. And it remains a very intricate part of the town of Odessa and some of the surrounding areas. The summer reading program has well over 600 children, diversity within the attendees and everything, because we ask those type of questions. And the program itself has come in over the past several years within the top five children's reading programs completed throughout the state of Delaware. So they also offer some incentives to the children, awards and recognition as they proceed and complete the program. And I think their feeling is that you know, some of our children and youth that read throughout the summer consistently score higher on our standardization test and things. So it's a very worthwhile program, and we contributed 1,000 hours last year. We'd like to do that again.
Very admirable grant going to summer youth. Yeah.
Also like to thank our manager, Community Services, Alan Mattis, for attending. We had a meeting on Thursday evening, April 25th, with the board of the librarian and the board of the library. And it's something that Marcus and I had done in the past. And Alan joined us, and it was a very, very informative meeting.
Do I have a motion for a grant for the Corbett Calloway Memorial Library for the Summer Youth Reading Program?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. Grants approved for the Summer Reading Program at Corbett Calloway Library. Edgemoor Community Center. This grant request is for $2,000 for instructors and supplies for the summer camp at the Edgemoor Community Center. It's under my sponsorship. And this grant will round out the program at our summer day camp there with the arts instruction for disadvantaged youth in the area. It's another great partnership between folks in the community of Belfont Arts and the Edgemoor Community Center. And this grant request is for supplies and pay instructors for the arts instruction at the summer camp at Edgemoor Community Center. I'd like to make a motion for $2,000 for that purpose. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the grant is approved. $2,000. Yes. With that.
Not voting.
Councilman Smiley, not voting. With that, we're going to move along under Revenue and Expense Roundtable. Under Other, Councilman Smiley, would you like to?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to consider Resolution 13-137.
And I'd like to thank Council's consideration for waiting to allow time for additional Council members to show up today. I'm going to preface discussing this with a few comments because I started receiving some phone calls last night, had some conversations last night and conversations today. It never ceases to amaze me how when people differ with something,
they will, let's just say, fantasize and go to extremes with providing misinformation to people. So with that, I'll move on. Number one, there is no county money or quid pro quo involved in this resolution. This is all about a state-funded and managed program. If the state chooses to award any funds, the funds are for road improvements that directly benefit the public good, the percentage. They are not for the project. What happens is, when you go in front of them, they have to produce the plan, the benefits, the jobs, all nine yards, and this commission evaluates what percentage of the cost of road improvements benefit the public. And that's the percentage that they look at in awarding funds. None of the funds are directly applied to the project. And again, I've asked those individuals that contacted me to go back and find out who made the accusation that I am fast-tracking this piece of legislation in order to benefit someone, because I really want a face-to-face. So if anyone in this room knows who it is, my cell number is 463-4250. I'm perfectly willing to meet them anytime, any place. I'm tired of it. You know, when anonymous grows a pair, then they start freaking talking. Okay, further to move on and discuss the legislation. This, again, is only about, all this does is council becomes the government entity that just issues a letter as a sponsor authorizing them to go before the state entity to seek funding. Go back. This project itself was discussed in the Land Use Committee on August 21st, 2012. The project was unanimously approved by council on August 21st, 2012. Listening to the tape, council members were well in support of this. Councilman Bell applauded the resolution, stating, "This is exactly what redevelopment should be. It is a good, sound plan." President Kovac, for what that's worth, seconded the comments, and I think he even signed it. Councilman Sheldon echoed the comments and stated it is good for redevelopment, and he was glad it was happening. On June, the plan that this application is applicable to has not changed from when council unanimously supported the plan.
And just for the record, if you could just describe what the plan is that we're talking.
It's the Newcastle Town Center. It's the old Barrow Pit. Right. It's a redevelopment plan.
It was approval of this commercial regional plan, right?
Yep. On June 19, 2012, a hearing was held in Dover by the Infrastructure Investment Committee, and the road improvement funds being sought now were approved for the developer then. There were two entities involved in this. One entity left, there was one remaining, went to Dover, went before the commission, they were awarded the funds. Now, the developing entities have switched back, and because of that, and the funds haven't been transmitted yet, they have to go back, the individual has to go back before the board again. And if memories, again, if memory serves me correct, I was there at that meeting. The meeting of that board was also unanimous. I've given you a copy of the board makeup, the Infrastructure Investment Committee, still chaired by Alan Levin, the DITO secretary, Shaylin Blatt, the LDOT secretary. I'm not sure if the co-chairs are still Senator Venables and Representative Keeley or not.
Yeah.
And they are still. And Michael Radford. So that's who they go in front of. That's who votes on it. And again, it was unanimously supported by them. It's here before us because, and I'm not going to go into what I was said, what I was told, but the administration has decided for whatever reason not to sponsor. So I understand this is a first for council. but I have researched it, and the council does have the legal right to be the sponsoring entity for them to apply. Again, that's all this does is allow them to apply. And to clear the record, because I don't know how many of you got calls or information, I do not know who the tenants will be on this site. As a rule, my rule, I never inquire as to who the tenants will be for a few reasons. Number one being, I can't legally take that into consideration when I'm voting on something. The second, and probably the biggest one I would fall victim to is, given my past life in organized labor, I don't want to run the risk of my vote ever being compromised because of an accusation that I discriminated against a business or something because in the past I had labor issues with them. I tried to organize them, I led a strike against them, whatever. For 30 some years, there isn't a strike or a picket line, I don't believe, in this state or the multi-state area I didn't participate in. So I never ask who a tenant's going to be. Most of the time, no one knows. The one time in the 7th District they knew, I got the you-know-what beat out of me for a year, and Lowe's is still on the other side of Pulaski Highway. So, you know, if that doesn't tell you you don't want to know, you don't want to know. The only thing I do know that has been a constant from day one, and I was informed of this when I did ask because of a call last night. I did make a call and say, are there any contracts signed by any tenants? And the answer was no, there's no contract signed, which at this stage there usually isn't. However, from what I understand, the one constant was and remains that Greg Owen Ferreira is the road work and site preparation contractor for this project. So I'm open to any questions. I just hope they're not from anonymous because I've about had it with him or her.
Yes, Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. President. What Councilman Smiley quoted as far as myself as a councilman, neighboring councilman, is totally accurate. I continue to support the project and the initiative. I think even in that meeting we talked about other areas that ended up being like either gravel pits or that have been excavated, like over at Quigley Boulevard, the post office and several businesses there, Center Point. And so this, to me, and I stay on the record as what I've said, and I continue to support Councilman Smiley with this initiative, is that this is good development. Yes. And it's certainly good for the area, and we'll use properties that have been used for other purposes prior to this development.
Okay, very good. And just for the record, I'll read the title, Resolution 13-137, supporting the new jobs infrastructure grant proposal by the Newcastle Town Center to the Infrastructure Investment Committee, Delaware Economic Development Office, to facilitate the construction of public improvements and enhance state and county needs and to create significant permanent quality full-time and part-time jobs. And the substance of this is council supports this resolution. We will be the governing government body sponsoring their application to DETO as per title. Any other questions, comments? Councilman Street.
I'm not trying to get in no fight.
No. You're the only one at this end of the table.
But I don't understand who's the fight between and why.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for.
My substance is that what I take away is the administration, for whatever its reasons, didn't want to sponsor this application. So the district councilman Smiley has offered to do so that the ownership of the project can apply for these DETO funds. Again, as Councilman Smiley described it, it's a competitive process based on public worth and so forth, but they just need a letter of a sponsoring government entity to go forward. Councilman Smiley.
And just for the record, just because the current administration doesn't want to go forward with the letter for whatever the reason may be today, I would never assume by any stretch of the imagination
that they would be behind the recent attack on me or my credibility at all.
Okay. Councilman Tackett.
I would just ask, I mean, I don't know, we have Marcus Henry here, and I guess that was his department. I mean, this is not unusual, but I guess kind of caught off guard at a meeting to hear all this is going on, but maybe is there any way the administration might explain, and then do we just approve this, and then
the
deal goes? Nobody has to take this any further? I mean, our body doesn't
know? Our body's done. No money, no cost, no nothing, but I will be at the
hearing. Yeah, I know no money or no cost, but I'm just like, who would...
Let's... Marcus Henry with Economic Development, do you want to make a comment, sir?
Thanks. Marcus Henry, Policy Director. I'll say this, that the application as presented to us, we had some concerns with in its form at that time, and we rejected sponsoring that. Councilman Smalley is right. He's perfectly within his legal rights. Council is to sponsor this. But it's important to distinguish that DITO decides whether or not it's worthy of funding. So really, it's a state issue in making this determination. We just had concerns about the application as presented to us for this project. And I'd leave it at that if I can.
Okay.
I'd like to further question.
Councilmember Kilpatrick, then Councilman Street, then Councilman Smiley.
Thank you. I just wanted to state that I don't find that this is tremendously unusual for council to sponsor. Many grants that are state or federal grants ask for a local government to sponsor them. I've been asked several times within my district if the administration wouldn't sponsor it or couldn't sponsor it, would I'd be willing to take things to council. Every other time we've gotten the administration to sponsor it, but I don't find that this is anything that's out of the ordinary.
Councilman Street, then we'll go back.
Pass.
Marcus, did you want to have further
Marcus, I'm Policy Director. I forgot to mention, actually, Council.
I was kidding.
Council, some member of council does have to attend the public hearing as a sponsor, from what I understand.
Since council is sponsoring.
Right. When so somebody does have to actually physically attend the hearing. That's just for clarification.
Just for the record, I attend when the administration sponsors as well, if it's in my district. So I don't know if you've heard or not. I guess you will be there Thursday.
I'll be at this session. This Thursday, yes.
Yeah, in case the council member doesn't know, whoever that may be, the administration has signed on to sponsor the pilot school for funds, which I recall some disputed counsel on the pilot school. I didn't hear any complaints about this one. Well, you said you didn't have anything. Don't be going back now.
Okay. Councilman Street, did you want to comment?
Go ahead.
Okay.
We got
all right. Any other discussion, comments? Resolution number 13-137, I think we explored this in great detail.
I know why waiting until the end.
I think the point is that, you know, there's something to be said for council to be sponsoring local government entity, and this will be a first, and, you know, that's has some merit, and from my point of view, by itself. All right. Any other comments, questions? Moving along.
Motion to adjourn. You did other.
Public? Oh, Councilman Hollins. Okay.
I think you passed over other, but one thing I slept it, I guess.
We're under other.
You're under other. I just wanted to mention there was an email from Ed Milowicki. I guess Councilman may or may not have seen it, but we had applied for $231,000 for summer youth employment, and we received 81.
Right, that was
281.
81.
81,000.
Right.
Terrible.
That challenge.
Yes.
Even greater than we had anticipated.
Councilman Taggart.
Well, I didn't see the email. I guess he only showed it with a few. But how did that compare to last year?
Ed Miller, Finance Office. I know it's just sent to, wasn't emailed at all. Council was sent to Councilman Hollins and Diller, a sponsor of the legislation. And maybe Community Service can talk about how that compares to last year's funding.
Yeah, it was actually a $5,000, Allen Madison. It was a $5,000 increase over last year's amount. So we actually got a bump on the initial funding. Also a chance that, like last year, maybe they'll throw some more money at us before we get started.
That happened last year.
Right.
Councilman Street.
Application was submitted to
who? Department of Labor.
And did, by any chance, did they give you, do we know the total funding, not only to Newcastle County, but to other sources? Has that been revealed at this point?
No, they just notified us. As of yesterday afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to public comment. Anybody from the public would like to make a comment on the agenda today? No public comment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
All those opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.